Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
My God, so cold.
Oh, yes.
So cold.
This is our era right here, Hutton. Austin Price.
This is our WWE era.
Stone Cold Steve Austin Price on with us. He requested the music. He receives the music this holiday season. Austin Price with the VolQuest Report. What's up, Austin?
What's going on, guys?
Austin, I think you'd agree with me. The best part about Stone Cold Steve Austin in any wrestling, like fight or anything that's going on, is when you can't hear what they're saying, but you can see them. The camera stays on them. They're mouthing something at someone in the ring, and their music is playing. That's what I think of when I hear that music, is that being the soundtrack over whatever Stone Cold Steve Austin is telling The Rock or whoever it was.
Dude, that was the golden age. The golden age of professional wrestling, when the Attitude Era for WWE and WCW had the NWO, it did not get much better, and that was when I was about 16 years old. So at that point, it was at its height.
Austin, are we entering a golden era for Tennessee football recruiting where they're going to get some really good news this evening with Quavarez Crouch?
You know, I do think that, the Tennessee's trended well since the weekend for Quavarez Crouch. I think him announcing today is a great sign for Tennessee. You do not want to have this thing linger out, Chad, and you do not want it to linger into January where Clemson, while it is technically, really a no-contact period, but, kids can still call coaches, and so you didn't want that to linger, and I think to get that out of the way really lends itself to the fact that Tennessee may very well get good news this evening, and will be a huge, huge addition, and then all eyes turn to Darnell Wright as he will be officially, if he's not always been, he will be officially the biggest fish on the board at this point.
Well, and if is it your understanding that Crouch will sign with whoever he decides to go to this afternoon, that it'll be officially over at that point? This isn't just an announcement?
Correct. I think that in a perfect world, Quavarez is going to sign, keep it quiet until January 5th and announce at the Army game. But I don't think that was ever going to work, because once everybody realized he's signing, well, again, the biggest, kind of fiasco there is when college coaches get turned down. Because they all, none of them are immune from it. They all leak out a kid's decision to their media, to their people. Urban Meyer did that with Brian Maurer this summer. I mean, Maurer told him he was coming to Tennessee, and all of a sudden, you see all the Ohio State people, that cover the Buckeyes telling everybody, hey, he's going to go to Tennessee. And so I don't think it was ever going to hold. And for that fact, I think he decided, hey, let's just go ahead and get this thing done and not try to, have this long, drawn-out deal where everybody knows where I'm going.
Where does Tennessee see him playing or see him fitting in? Is he a linebacker for Jeremy Pruitt? How do they view him?
Well, I think they see him as a linebacker. And I do think that he'll play some running back. They'll use him kind of the way that UCLA uses Miles Jack. I think in a perfect world, Ty Chandler and Eric Gray, they use the open field. And they really dictate the pace of what Tennessee's going to do offensively. And then a short yardage situation down inside the 20 when you're trying to get those tough yards, or late in the game when you're just trying to lean on a defensive line, Quavarez Crouch sees some time to running back. But I think Tennessee's going to just play him both ways early and then just really kind of get a feel for where he fits best. He may fit best at running back, and he may see that after 1 year, or he may say, no, I'm my future really is on defense. Look at the kind of headway I'm, providing at linebacker. He sticks mostly at linebacker. But I do think Tennessee plans to play him both ways, at least early on.
Is Tennessee surprised he's announcing this evening?
No, I don't believe they are. I think that's kind of always been the hope. I think the hope was also that, Darnell Wright may announce, but they were never going to push Darnell Wright. With Quavarez, though, knowing he's going to do something on January 5th, it just made total sense to, hey,
let's get this thing done. And I think Quavara saw it. I mean, Quavara's a very smart kid. I mean, you spend time with him. Jesse Simonson and I spent an hour and a half with him back in the spring. And, you know, just his thought process on things is really impressive. I think, you know, a lot of people, you know, because he is not a real talkative guy, you know, they don't think that, you know, he really kind of processes things the way he does. I mean, he thinks everything out, and they, you know, the old adage, you know, you're playing chess, not checkers. That really is Quavara Scratch, and really it's Darnell Wright. Both of them, you know, are already thinking two or three steps ahead before, you know, you're thinking that first step.
Chad and I are discussing this yesterday. No real big surprises over the first couple of days of the early signing period for Tennessee. Everything slotted the way we thought it would. Where would Crouch be, though, on a wish list for Tennessee coaches for maybe not surprises, but a feather in the cap, so to speak, this time of year?
Well, I think he's number one right now. If Darnell Wright is probably the only guy that could pass him. They felt like they were good with Wanye for a long time, and you know, we've talked about it on this show. Wanye, outside of Jackson Lampley, is as solid a, you know, kid as there was all fall. And I'll give Tennessee a lot of credit. And Tennessee fans, I think it's easy to look up and see, you know, Alabama adding player X or Y and Georgia adding player Z or J. And we're not adding anybody new. But most of the class was already kind of in the boat. You felt good about all those guys. There wasn't anybody that you looked at and said, why are they taking him? He's not very good. And, you know, when you factor in, too, that if you said back in April, Tennessee's going to land Wanye Morris, Quavaris Crouch, and Darnell Wright. If you said all three of those things, then Darnell's not done. But, I mean, I'm just saying, if you said all those three back in the spring, Tennessee fans would have taken that and run. Because at the time, they were all three five-stars. You know, so I think it's a really solid class by Jeremy Pruitt. I've said for about 6 months, though, I thought 2020 was his destined class because it was a better class in-state. And I think that's where you really make a lot of headway when you're not having to try to battle these out-of-state kids for the in-state school that they're currently, you know, leaning to. You know, Tennessee, I think in 2020 we'll see a lot more traction in the volunteer state than we did in 2019.
Austin, for the longest time, Eric Gray was a Michigan Wolverine. Peel back the layers for us a bit and explain the process of Pruitt's approach in recruiting him, the staff's approach in recruiting him, and ultimately why he signed with Tennessee yesterday.
Well, I think Tennessee was a little bit late to the party, you know, unlike most of the other schools. It's not that they weren't recruiting him. They were recruiting him, but as far as the push, now, they weren't pushing for Eric Gray, you know, 6 months ago. And then you get about two games into the season, and you see offensively that, man, Ty Chandler's kind of it. Everybody else is just kind of, you know, good but not electrifying. You know, a lot of those guys can't take a short pass and take it 65 yards the way that a Ty Chandler can. Our needs change. Who can do that in state? Oh, there's that Eric Gray kid over there in Memphis who is, you know, just an exceptional athlete, turns nothing into something more times than not. And the state's only three-time Mr. Football winner, you know, most touchdowns in the history of Tennessee football. It just made a ton of sense, and they went hard after him. He didn't want to go to Michigan. I mean, Michigan sounded good at the time back when he committed in the summer, but, I mean, he was here five times this fall. I mean, five times. He only came once officially. But he was coming up here on his own dime a ton. And plus, there's a lot of those Memphis kids. You know, whether it be Jerome Carvin, Jordan Davis, who's a kid that was in the 2018 class but had to reclassify for 2020 because he had to go JUCO. They've been laying on him, too. And then Jeremy Pruitt just made him priority number one once he saw that he needed that kind of special player on offense.
When you look now, let's just play the hypothetical that Crouch and Wright both end up in this class for Tennessee. Who's left? Who were the priorities at that point that they want to sign in February?
Well, you know, there's a couple of guys. To me, there's three players out there. Well, let's go four. Four players out there in the month of January, not counting, Quavaris and or Darnell. You got to go edge pass rusher. There's not really any of them out there, but there is Chris Bogle out there. He's not signed. Alabama is pretty much full. Miami is kind of a dumpster fire down there with Mark Richt in this recruiting class for some reason. Can you take another big swing, get him up here unofficially in January? That's asking a lot. But maybe, just maybe, you can get him back on campus in the month of January. If that happens, much like, you know, Crouch, that brings back into play someone we heard about, you know, 9 months ago. Remember, it was Bogle. It was the Curry kid who ended up signing with Arizona, and it was Wanye Morris. you know, who all visited back in April. And so I'm interested to see on him. Linebacker Chris Russell at Dyersburg, and then Henry To'oto'o out of De La Salle in California. And then I think Tennessee would like to go the defensive back route, whether that be Travis Jay, who's a longtime Florida State commit. Florida's also been rumored there, but they're kind of getting full at corner with the potential for Chris Steele and Jaden Hill. So I think Tennessee looks at a DB. They definitely look at linebacker, and then see if they can add a pass rusher if one presents itself. Maybe Bogle. We'll see.
Austin, the predictable offensive coordinator question, but I'm coming at it a different angle right now. On the recruiting trail, specifically with Gray, if I'm Gray, I'm asking about the offensive system. What have they been telling recruits about the offensive system and the offensive play caller who's currently not in place, at least publicly?
Well, just very vague terms that they're going to score a lot of points. They're going to, you know, spread the field and put their playmakers in a position to be successful. It's been very vague whenever you talk to, you know, prospects about, you know, well, what did Tennessee tell you about who they're going to hire? Well, they didn't really say a name. Well, what did they tell you about the offense? And that's kind of what the sales pitch has been. So it's very vague in how they're pitching it.
But, are you surprised by that they can be as vague as they've been, but yet they have the players buying in to what they're saying, vaguely?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, like, I'm not surprised that they, you know, they weren't having to battle people to hold on to some of the guys they had committed on offense. But, you know, with Gray, again, he had been up here a ton, so he obviously felt comfortable with the area, the people, the players, the coaches, that I don't think it was that big of a deal to him. You know, elsewhere, I mean, Crouch right now, I mean, Crouch wants to be recruited as a defensive guy, and so that's what Tennessee's done. You know, I think that's why Clemson, I think, you know, initially said linebacker and running back, but the more things went down, I think more of it leaned towards running back with him from Clemson's side. And so, you know, and again, your centerpiece is your quarterback, and Maurer was going nowhere, and you've already got a 2020 guy. So that's why I think Jeremy Pruitt's not in a super rush and has not been in a super rush, because you weren't selling a ton of offensive kids anyways, and the ones you were selling were comfortable with the people, players, and coaches in place.
Austin Price, VolQuest.com is where you can find his work. Great recruiting coverage as well there right now, VolQuest.com. Austin, Merry Christmas to you. Happy holidays, and we'll catch up with you next Wednesday.
That sounds good, guys. Good luck delivering the toys next week.
Yep, thank you. Appreciate it. Austin Price, VolQuest.com.